This is OTB AM.
Can Cork out Kerry again? Here I am asking two Kerry men. I'm stupid. I mean, it's the stupidest question I've ever asked in my life. You're both going to be, oh, yeah, of course.
OTB AM, Ireland's only sports breakfast show. Weekdays from 7.30 AM, only on OTB Sports Radio. Live 24-7 on the OTB Sports app. The OTB Podcast Network.
OTB AM. This is OTB Sports Radio.
Tommy Walsh, good morning to you. How are you doing?
Good morning, Gerard. How are you?
What's your confirmation name?
Confirmation name, Michael, after my father.
Okay, that was not Thierry, not as good as that. And is there a history in Kilkenny of taking, like, geez, I don't know who people would take. Would they take Eddie Kerr? Would they take DJ? Were there a lot of DJs, I suppose, around the...
Yeah, I haven't heard really. I think the time I was doing it, it was really kind of, you picked, you know, your father, maybe your grandfather or something like that, but... I suppose the older generation was maybe saints. They used to take the names of saints, but I haven't heard anyone, no one in my class, I don't think anyone took DJ or Eddie Kerr or anything like that.
or just Shefflin. Apparently, Wes Hoolahan has Cantona as his, so obviously they were doing things a bit different in the inner city. Listen, before we get into this weekend's games, I do want to ask you about the big debate this week was just about how easy it was for teams to score in the two big championship matches that we've had so far, massive record-breaking scores put up. Do you have any theory behind what was going on?
It's probably a mixture of everything. I suppose the two main ones is probably the crowd. As people said and commented on during the week, you know, there's possibly not as much nerves or, you know, you don't hear the oohs or the ahs or you don't probably feel that pressure when you're running out. You know, on the 40-yard line or the 60-yard line, and there's 40,000 people kind of screaming and shouting. So possibly, say when you hit the ball and it goes wide, you've kind of probably that the ahs and maybe the fear of letting people down. Towards maybe if there's nobody in the stadium, like a challenge match, you don't really, you know, in a training session, Ger, a challenge match, when you hit the ball wide or do silly things with the ball, you don't really feel it as much or notice it because there's no real consequences. So possibly does that feel, you know, that feeling that people aren't letting anyone down, you know, just at that initial stage because it just doesn't feel like a big championship game in that moment. That's one, I suppose, theory that I might have. And the other one is... the other one is the ball, obviously, you know. Like, I think the fear coming into the game, Ger, was that some of the county players had used that ball out in Boston. And it was much harder, I think, was it Owen Murphy commented, you need a good few hurls. Seemed, you know, when you have a hard ball like that, it can break your hurl. I often notice that with a ball that might be wet for a while and then it dries out, say, you might have it in under the fireplace or under the stove. And when it dries out, it can be like a rock, even though it's dry. And you can break, you know, your new fresh hurl off it. But when that, it didn't transpire that was the case last Sunday. The ball seemed to be as fast and as light as ever. So the ball definitely has a major factor in it because, like, I remember taking 65s when I was a county minor. Myself and Michael Rice, we took 65s for Nicky Cashin from Clara Watford, man originally, and living in Clara, teacher in St. Kieran's. He was our manager, a great manager, and kind of really looked at the finer details. So the two of us were practicing 65s for, I'd say, 6 months, and none of us could reach the goal. So when it came to the championship game, PJ Delaney took the 65s. I don't think he practiced them all year. But that'll tell you, like, at 18 years of age, you had hit it well to reach the goal, really. Nowadays, like you see the Garrod Hegartys and these guys, they're gliding along maybe 70 yards out and it looks like they're barely tapping the ball and it's flying. So I think that has a major bearing on it as well. So, yeah.
Would you change the ball to go back to where it was, or do you think actually what will happen is that defences will get a bit tighter and, you know, the game will evolve? Would you be in favour of going back to the heavy ball as it was when you were a minor?
Yeah, sure. How do you do it, really, I suppose, because there's so many balls coming into play. There's a lot of, you know, the goalie is a bag of balls, lads on the sideline are throwing in balls for frees. So you'll always have that mixture. But I suppose if you did bring back in the heavier ball, you know, probably 70 or 80% of the time, possibly you would be playing with that heavier ball. Well, I'm a forward now, so no. If I was a back, I'd say, yeah. Like, I'm just thinking if I was a wing back, I'd say you'd be crying out for that heavier ball, possibly, because if you give your lad here a bit of space out around the middle of the park, he can just tap it over the bar. Towards maybe back in the day, you know, he'd want to be a very, very good striker to put it over the bar. So I think as a defender, yeah, you'd like a heavier ball. As a forward, I don't think you'll hear any forward complaining, because it gives him the ability. Like, you see Tony Kelly the weekend scoring 8 points from play, 17 points. Like, 17 points in 17 minutes is just, it's incredible. You see players nowadays, often you see him scoring 4 or 5 points from play. You probably won't have that. Yeah, like, you go back to the All-Irelands, like 2006, I'd say it was a 116 to 113, 2003 was a 114 to 111, even the 95 All-Ireland, the Clare Offaly All-Ireland, 2-8 maybe to 110, so, you know, not sure exactly now, that's off memory, but small old scores, so there's advantages in both, but I don't see any problem with the way the game is going anyway. Like, I know there's a lot of scores, but I think they're great spectacles at the moment anyway.
Yeah.
What would it like to be a half-back out there? Like, is there a sense that the game can bypass the half-back line a little bit easier as a result of what you're just talking about?
I don't think it'll bypass the half-back line, because you have so many, there's so many places where you can get on the ball. Like, if it goes over your head, you're in the game, because you run back into your full back line. If it's out the field, actually, you can just go out after it. So I think the half back line will never really be bypassed, because just there, that's the main area of where the ball does be. Depends on who's clearing the ball. Like, you go back to last Sunday, like, you know, Dermot Burns, Declan Hannan, Paddy O'Loughlin. But I suppose they were strong and physically in that second half, as in there was no ball went past them. So, you know, possibly midfield maybe is the area on. I'd say maybe that can be bypassed a lot. You have a short puck out, which happens a lot now, and then that goes over the midfield area. But I think probably the style of play on, just thinking about this all off the top of my head really, but the style of play that teams are playing now, possibly there's no real area going to get bypassed. Like, if you start with the goalie, right, he's just in the game. He's more important than ever now. The full back line now gets a lot of sharp hook outs. The half back line, there's a lot of balls. So back when, you know, say the 80s, 90s, 2000s, when you got the ball in the back line, your first job really was to get the ball down to the other end of the field. And the whole philosophy was that when the ball's at that end of the field, well, they're not going to score. The opposition is not going to score. So get it out of the danger area. Towards now, they play around with the ball. So the full back line will give it to the half back line to midfield. So it goes up through the lines. That's the style of play we're playing at the moment, Owen. So as long as that style of play remains, I don't think you'll see many areas of the field really being bypassed.
Let's start talking about the games this weekend. Limerick Tip is as big a match as we've had since the All-Ireland final last year. It is a sensational, mouth-watering game between two teams who we just hope Tipperary are in the form that we think they're capable of, because if they are, then this should be a classic.
Yeah, Jared, it's the Super Sunday. It's the match we've all been waiting for. It's the blockbuster. Like, why? You have the All-Ireland champions versus, we'll say, the Munster champions of last year, the league champions the last 2 years. These are the top two teams in the country going on past results. You only have to look at the matchups. I was looking at who's going to be marking who. It's very difficult to know because we haven't seen Tipperary in action. We have a fair idea of the Limerick team. But, like, you could see Seamus Callan on Dan Morrissey. You could see John McGrath, Declan Hannan. Like, it's going to be incredible. Like, Ronan Maher, you know, if he's full back on Aaron Gillan, like, no matter where you look in the field, there's huge matchups. You have Cottle Barrett, you know, one of the toughest, most tigerish cornerbacks in the country, probably up against Graham Mulcahy. Like, it's everywhere. And we can't wait to see the different duels, who's going to come out on top. We all know, I suppose, what Limerick are like. We had heard they were flying in challenge games. I felt that the challenge games, it's hard to really put much faith in the challenge games this time of year because you have different panels trying out different things. No real pressure in that in challenge games, but it just, they seemed to go from strength to strength again last Sunday. The one thing that will play in Tipperary's favour is that the whole country now is talking about Limerick. I know myself from playing the game, if you have question marks about you going into a match, you don't even need anyone to psych you up. You don't even need anyone to have you focused. You don't have to be thinking about even the man you're marking. You're just absolutely going to go ball-headed for that ball. Probably man-ball, everything. Towards Limerick are coming now after a week. Say if the game is in 3 weeks' time, you'd say, right, they'll settle back down for a week. John Kiley will probably look at a few of the areas they can improve on and maybe, question a few lads just to get motivated again towards going straight into this game. So will the momentum carry him through? The one word you don't like, Ger. Will that carry him through and will they go from strength to strength? But that's such a big performance last week. It'd be very difficult for him to do it again next Sunday. The one thing I would say about Limerick is every match they play is an All-Ireland. So they seem to be able, like you'd see the New England Patriots, not this season, but for the last probably 20 seasons with Tom Brady. You look at their press conferences, it's all about the next game, and which often coaches and teams do, but they lived up to it. It was like once they played the game for Sunday, won that, game over, focus straight away on the next game. This Limerick team seemed to be similar enough and seemed to be able to do that. So that will play in their favour. Tipperary then, we just know nothing about them this year. So we're just really kind of, predicting based on the performances of the last, last year.
We do want to see how quickly they get up to speed. That's the one caveat that, like, for Limerick, they got up to speed straight away. And maybe that was the point of the challenge games. Like, there was some talk about was it Tyrone the first day out, or was it they hadn't played a challenge game before they played Donegal? Donegal had played a challenge game. Donegal just hit the ground running a bit quicker against them. Like, assuming Tipperary have managed this properly and are at the speed that they're supposed to be at, was there a template in Limerick's defeat last season, thinking all the way back to summer 2019, that performance that Kilkenny put in against them, is there something there that Tip can go and look at and go, yeah, okay, that's exactly what we need to do?
You see, when you look at that Kilkenny and Limerick game last summer, I felt that Limerick prepared everything that was coming out of camp sounded right. The players themselves in the match, they didn't look like they were lackadaisical. It was just Kilkenny started out of block, like they started like a train. They were just unbelievable on that given day. And I don't think anything could prepare you for that level of intensity, the level of just savagery, really, of that Kilkenny team in that game. It was just one of those games, and, one of Brian Cody's greatest victories. I thought Limerick adjusted well. They took the blows early. They're like, say, Muhammad Ali and the Rumble in the Jungle. They took the blows, although they didn't mean for it to happen that way, but they did take them and grew into the game. And they were 7 or 10 points down early in that game and came back, and they were within a point of Kilkenny at the very end. And only for the 65, I suppose, that wasn't, could very well have been one of the greatest comebacks, in John Kiley's era. So they're well able for that. But the lesson, I suppose, to be learned here is they learned during the game, because I don't think they had come across a ferocity like that. Kilkenny are a big team as well, so they're all big men with experience, 10 years probably in doing gym work and that. So Tipperary, I think, will only learn on Sunday. I don't think that will prepare them for what they're going to face this Sunday against Limerick, and it's just going to be ferocious. And it's can they take the blows in the first 20-25 minutes and grow into the game? That will be the question mark. The one thing about them is that the likes of the Shamey Callans and these guys, if you go through their past seasons, they grow into the season. As the league, they get better and better and better as it goes along. Like, I always felt Shamey Callan, Noel McGrath, these guys, they play really well when they're playing every league game, and they just seem to be able to adjust. So the question mark is, they won't have any time to adjust this weekend. They're just going to have to hit the ground running.
OK. It sounds like you're leaning towards a Limerick victory in a close game.
I'm leaning towards a Limerick victory based on, I think, this year playing a championship game is going to be more important than ever. So I'll definitely lean towards a Limerick victory, yeah.
All of the points we've made about Tipperary in some respects could be made about Galway and Wexford. This is a Galway team who still have the backbone of an All-Ireland winning squad in it. It's a Wexford team who have year on year defied expectations and got better and more successful, and like were within a hair's breadth, really, of being the All-Ireland champions. And we would talk about them so differently, I think, if they'd actually won an All-Ireland. So, what the hell's going to happen in this game?
Yeah, it's a difficult one again. Like all these matches, trying to predict them is like the lottery because we know nothing about them. We know about Dublin, we know about Limerick, but everyone else is, you don't even know who's going to be playing, to be honest. You're just hearing rumours. So Wexford and Galway, I think Wexford, if you just look at the players, I think Wexford are coming into their peak years. You had last year, probably this year and next year. They're coming into their peak years as players. The Lee Chins, Conor McDonald, the O'Connors, Jack and Rory. Sure, Liam Ryan, he's out, it's injured. But, I think Davy Fitz knows these guys so long now, so he knows their best positions. He knows what ticks their boxes. So I think, players wise, I think Wexford are definitely coming into the peak of their careers. And I think that will suit them. They'll be fresh, they'll be fit, they'll be hungry this weekend. On the opposite side, you have Galway, Shane O'Neill. He had no time, a couple of games early in February and March to have a look at his players, but very difficult for him to know the best positions for his players, what makes, giving them a training session off or driving them hard in training or maybe taking it easy, what's going to suit these guys best. Now, what I would say, there is a lot of talk now. Joe Canning is back, he's fresh, he's hungry, hasn't really played a championship game probably in 2 years, played a cameo role last year, but when he's at his best, it just gives the confidence to these Galway guys. Like Dahi Burke, I think, is out injured as well. So there is a lot going against Galway coming into this game. So I think it could be Wexford's day on Sunday, Saturday.
It's hard to stay with the days of the week. What about Cork and Waterford? Again, it's a Cork team who festooned with attacking talent, but just have been a bit brittle in the big days.
Yeah, well, for Waterford, I was looking at their results, saying that they hadn't won a Munster Championship game in 3 years, Ger, which I couldn't believe. So I was just going back looking at it. 2016, by my record, is the last time they've won a Championship game in Munster, which is incredible, really, from the heights that they were at. All-Ireland semi-finals, all-Ireland finals there every year. So, Páraga Matney is now out injured, but the one thing they have going for him is Liam Cahill. Liam Cahill is a winner. He has won minor All-Irelands, he has won under-20 All-Irelands, under-21 All-Irelands. So with that becomes savage belief from your players. He made a few hard calls early in the year, dropped a few big names, but he was kind of, I said at the time, he was sitting out a stall, that maybe, he was making the sacrifice of dropping these two guys just to set the template that there's no one bigger than the team, that I'm not afraid of any man, that if you want to be on this team, you fall in line and it's a team game, it's not an individual game. And you have to have work ethic, you have to have a toughness, you have to have a savagery, a strong mentality. That's what will win All-Irelands. You have the skill, you've been there on the big day, you have the players, you're able to do it. But he probably wants to, instill a savagery in that team. And we've already seen the pictures of Ozzie Gleeson, like the shape he's in. I've never seen anything like it. So, if your leader is doing that, well, you can be damn sure the rest of your players are probably toeing the line as well. You have the Bennetts up front, so they have the players. So they will be absolutely hungry and they will have that belief from Liam Cahill. His first year in it as well, it'll be a freshness and a newness to the whole thing. So they will definitely believe they can win. As you said, you're wondering about Cork there. Cork can do anything with the ball. So we often hear the tales of what Conor Lehan does, what Patrick Horgan does, the Cadigans. What they're doing with the ball has been incredible for the last number of years. But you go back to the All-Ireland champions the last few years. You had, we'll say, last year Tipperary. I was at one of their first league games down in Thurles. Terrible day, blustery conditions, bad conditions. Seamus Callan and Mastarn. He chased the guy definitely 40, 50 yards from the edge of the square, a nutting ball, had no right to do it, and no one would even noticed if he hadn't went and done it. Hooked or blocked or huddled up the opposition, I think it was probably a Clare guy at the time, and I said to myself, that's the sign that these boys are going to be serious this year. 2018, the All-Ireland Champions Limerick. I remember, I'd say it was the All-Ireland Final again, Páraig Mannion. Had a ball came to him out around the middle of the field, kind of his area, you know, they're on the wing back, the right wing back position, but more towards the middle of the field as opposed to the full back line. Graham Mulcahy came from the full far, again, probably the edge of the square, around that area, out and hauled them up, and they won a sideline, or they won a free, I'd say Páraig Mannion ended up over carrying it. Again, a savagery, what they're doing off the ball. Go back to 2018, Joe Canning, or 2017, when Galway won the All-Ireland. Joe Canning, I think it was the All-Ireland semi-final. Again, it wasn't what he done with the ball, what he done off the ball. He came out under the Hogan stand, again, out around the half-hour position. And I'd say it could have been Páraig Mar or something. Either huddled him up or shoved him out over the line. But again, just showing a savagery what I can do when I don't have the ball. And I think that's what you need, in addition to everything else, to win an All-Ireland. So the day that we look at Cork, Ger, is the point I'm getting to. You know, up in the stand or back in your sitting room in Clare or Kilkenny or Dublin, and you say to myself, oh my God, did you see what Horgan did? He did a dive and block. Did you see what Conor Lehan done? He chased back 20 yards and hooked the guy. Did you see what, say, Owen Cadogan done? He went out and shoved the guy out over the line. Something that they do that's off the ball, that shows an intent that this is not about me doing beautiful things. This is about me digging in and going for something that I never thought I could do. You know, like the Seamus Callan chasing the ball 40 yards, doing something that probably doesn't make sense. But in the end, it's them little things that win the big games and win in All-Irelands. And we know they can win Munsters. We can know they can win a lot of games, Ger. But the question marks now is these conditions. Will they suit this Cork team? So now is a great chance for them to prove, you know, their doubters wrong. Do a few things Sunday, Saturday night, that will leave people saying, you know what, this Cork team can do things this year.
Tommy, we're almost completely out of time, but I do want to ask you just one last question about the Kilkenny-Dublin game. We know Kilkenny will come with that intensity and that work rate off the ball as well. Is this Dublin team, is it too early in the iteration yet for them to be able to withstand that? Or did you see enough last week, albeit against a Leash side who didn't do themselves as much justice as we would have liked? Did you see enough from Dublin that they will actually be able to pull it up to Kilkenny?
Yeah, well, they have players in form, Ger. So Danny Sutcliffe, I thought, was super last weekend. Chris Cummie was brilliant. And Keane Boland, like, their forwards are Donalbur, like, their forwards are in great form. And I think this year, more than ever, the championship games, as I said, under your belt, will have a massive bearing on it. So I think that will be a huge advantage for Dublin going into the game. So they definitely have a chance. Kilkenny, I think there's new players, Owen Cody and Billy Ryan, and a few of the defenders like Joey Holden is in super form. So I think Kilkenny will be the favourites, but I think Dublin will have a great chance.
Tommy, great stuff. Enjoy the weekend. Thanks a million.
Thanks, lads. Bye-bye.
OTB AM. This is OTB Sports Radio.
That was an OTB Podcast Network presentation.